This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I had a lot of tweets about Kenny Loggins over the last 24 hours. I've decided, you know, I keep a list of what real men do. Real men wear pink. Real men cry, and not just at sporting events, although that's certainly okay. Real men can admit they like boy bands. Every now and then, we get a good song from a boy band. Real men can also admit they are fans of Kenny Loggins. The man's talented. He's really talented. I won't go so far as to add Michael Bolton into that mix because that might be a little bit farther than I'm willing to go to challenge you as real men. But considering that you were sending me tweets all day long, it's actually been 3 days now, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, of tweets. They're nonstop about the best film soundtrack of all time. I had responded to a music and film producer's tweet on Sunday about the best film soundtrack of all time, and I believe Top Gun is it. And then you spent 24 hours trying to convince me it wasn't Top Gun, so I turned it into our Twitter Tuesday question, and we had a lot of fun with it. We had full phone lines. I got several hundred more tweets. Facebook, you were kind of left out of the mix, sadly, but we do think there's a post up on our Facebook page now that if you didn't have a chance to weigh in on the conversation last night as part of Twitter Tuesday, you can do it now. So check it out. It's real, we think. Sometimes we believe it's real and Facebook says it's not real. And so we're fighting the power. Fight the power. So check it out on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can also post your questions for Ask Amy Anything, now just a half hour away, or our show Twitter if you want to continue to send your tweets. Seriously, I woke up to about another 30, 40 tweets. This was after we're off the air and I'd gone to bed, and I'm cranky about the dentist. And so I wake up, and you know, I check Twitter usually first thing when I wake up. It helps me wake up, but it also lets me know if there's been any breaking news while I was dead to the world. And all I had were tweets about whether Top Gun was the top film soundtrack of all time and people yelling at me because I didn't pick this movie and I didn't pick this movie. Oh, and then other people telling me the difference between a score and a soundtrack. And, you know, if you work at a record store, I guess that's a technical distinction that you need to make.
Mansplaining.
And so lots of tweets, tons of them. I know the producer, Tom, retweeted a bunch of them from our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS. You can send your questions for Ask Amy there, or you can weigh in on this ongoing debate. But yeah, I say Kenny Loggins for sure, because he's got a couple of fantastic songs that are renowned for being on the Top Gun soundtrack. And we got a couple of polls up still. We've got our Tiger Woods poll that ends in the next hour. But how do you expect Tiger to perform at the Masters in 2 weeks? And we've got our NBA backcourt poll as well. And they're on my Twitter, but you can find them all pretty easily and handily on our show Twitter. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227 to reach us. We're live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
Here comes Loyola, a chance to win it. Towns into the front court. On the left wing, top to Ingram, three for the win. Good! He made it! He made it as the buzzer expires! The Loyola players storm off their bench. They're mobbing their teammate.
In the backcourt, Livers will inbound. There's no defense on it. 3.6 to go. Michigan down two. Livers gets the basketball. Looking. Throws it in to Rockmont at midcourt. 2 seconds. Rockmont off the pool. Three for the win. He got it! Jordan Poole, the freshman, hits it at the buzzer, and Michigan is off to the Sweet 16. 64-63 is your final. And Poole is mobbed under the basket. Michigan fans going berserk. What a finish in Wichita.
I'll take some more of that kind of March Madness. Yes, please. Two of the most incredible moments of the NCAA men's basketball tournament to date. First, Ryan Radke with the call in Westwood One of Loyola, Chicago, and their buzzer beater with Dante Ingram. Awesome. That was one of the great stunners of the first round. And now we know the Ramblers with Sister Jean at 98 years old are rambling right into the Sweet 16 as well to take on Nevada, who's been another great surprise. That coming from the South region where the highest seed is Kentucky at number five. You've got 5, 7, 9, and 11. It's never happened in the history of March Madness that the highest seed remaining at the regional point is a five. And so there's a great opportunity there for Loyola and Nevada to move on. And then Brandon Gaudin with, I think, outside of UMBC, my favorite moment of the tournament so far, the Michigan buzzer beater, because it was just every little detail was not in Michigan's favor. There were not even 4 seconds left on the clock. They had to go the full length of the court with the inbound. They get the ball on the second pass to a freshman who has not scored the entire second half because he's the guy who's open. He launches it spread eagle style from a couple feet behind the line. Nothing but net.
It's over.
It was literally the last play of Saturday night in March Madness. So I did that moment was just so stunning in its finality. And that was it. They were done on Saturday. So, Brandon Gaudin, Ryan Radke, all the Westwood One calls are fantastic. It's been a lot of fun to see this tournament unfold. And we still have more coming up in Atlanta, Los Angeles, Omaha, and Boston. When we had Kevin Kugler on the show on Sunday night, I asked him whether or not he would say Omaha on the air like Peyton Manning does. He's from Omaha, so it's probably annoying to him that Omaha's gotten all this extra attention simply because of a call that Peyton Manning would make on the line as an audible.
Omaha said hi.
Or that he turned it into a commercial. Oh my gosh, that's so good. So anyway, he couldn't promise me that he'd do Omaha, but he will be the Omaha voice. And so it means he gets to do home games, so to speak. But yeah, we've got our four regions all set. Let's hope there aren't travel issues. I talked to some of my colleagues over the course of Tuesday, and many of them are now hopping early planes or trying to figure out how to get around Winter Storm Toby, Boston being in the direct path. So you're going to have the teams are already there, but you're going to have a bunch of media people who are descending now on Boston to get ready for, let's see, Friday games. I believe Boston is a Friday-Sunday thing, if I'm not mistaken. So that's right after the storm where people would be traveling at what is supposed to be now the height of the storm. There have been some weather forecasts that Boston could end up with another foot. This is after nearly 2 feet of snow fell in last week's Northeaster.
Yes!
Not Northeaster, that sounds odd. Nor'easter, Amy, you're from New Hampshire, for God's sakes. So anyway, Boston kind of in the middle of all of this. Don't have to worry about with LA or Atlanta or Omaha, at least for now. But we've got some awesome matchups that are on the schedule for us. Really looking forward to it. When you're talking about blue bloods in college basketball, you naturally think of Duke. And certainly you would think of Syracuse, even though Jim Boeheim's club has had a couple of down years. But they reached the Final Four a couple of years ago as a massive surprise. And here they are, very last team in the NCAA Field of 68 this year. And that 2-3 zone has carried them into the Midwest regional semifinals against Duke. But these two teams couldn't be coming from more opposite ends of the spectrum.
Duke
was a number two seed and really was one of the top teams in the country for a good portion of the year. They did have injuries to Marvin Bagley and other guys, and obviously it's a very young squad outside of Grayson Allen. But what a matchup in terms of name recognition only. Not saying that means the game's going to be any better. You know, our friend Jeff, who listens religiously to the show, he's in the Bay Area. He either catches the show live or he tweets us during the day when he's listening on the podcast. He loves the show. He's very faithful. We appreciate Jeff. He said when I was tweeting about college basketball, I tweeted the link to the Adam Zucker interview on Tuesday, and he wrote back and said, on the Westwood One broadcast of the Syracuse-Michigan State game, which, you know, let's face it, was a really low-scoring game. The final was 55-53. And that was a game in which the Spartans took a school record 37 three-point attempts and only made 8 of them. And Syracuse is not known for its offense. I mean, that's why this is such an unbelievable run. So Jeff tweets me and says, on the Westwood One broadcast of Syracuse, Michigan State, they were calling it, oh, shoot. How could I forget this? It was just in my brain. No!
Gone.
Oh, I know. It was a reference to the dentist because I went to the dentist. He said they were calling it the pulling teeth game. It was like pulling teeth to, oh my gosh, Amy. I mean, it was so good. It was the right setup. I was there. And then just my spaghetti plate brain, and it disappeared somewhere under a meatball. Anyway. Right. It was like pulling teeth. That was the game. And so you've got a Duke team that has the potential to really score, but will they be able to do it against the Syracuse zone? There is more familiarity there because they're both in the ACC now. But yeah, these two teams couldn't be more opposite right now in their personnel, in their path, or really in the expectations for this game either. Coach K, every now and then, makes his rounds on the media and social media, and now and then we'll try to text emojis. I don't know if you've seen his commercials or not. But he's got Grayson Allen, and then he's got a bunch of young guys, including a Marvin Bagley, who could end up being the number one pick overall in this summer's draft.
We try to squeeze 4 years into about 8 months with some of these kids that, you know, are just the one and done, and great kids. And they've wanted to learn the whole year, and they have. They've listened. And they're not afraid of big moments, though. You know, they haven't been the entire year.
So Coach K has had to kind of do the Calipari thing. Coach Calipari has been doing it for longer with Kentucky, just acclimating and adjusting to the one-and-done system, recruiting the best blue-chip talent he can find, doing his best coaching job to make them ready for March. It hasn't always been Duke's pattern. In fact, Coach K shied away from recruiting guys who would be gone after 1 year. But that's how you win, because you can't possibly expect the best players in the country, the majority of them, some of them do, but you can't expect most of them to stick around for 4 years, not when the NBA is beckoning and the money and the opportunity is beckoning. So he's adjusted to that, and he's learned how to coach young guys. But he also has Grayson Allen, who's a senior. And this year has been an extra challenge because they've had a ton of different injuries. So guys in and out of the lineup, which is definitely part of coaching in any sport. He's had to navigate that in addition to the youth and then Grayson being an extension of him on the court.
Grayson has become even a more vocal leader for us. And, you know, we have a chance. You know, we're healthy. Unless I mess them up here in the next 2 days of practice. That's a big thing, is you got to be careful, too much contact in practice. We're playing our best basketball this season right now.
Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, and the Duke Blue Devils will be battling Syracuse in that 2-3 zone coming up in the regional semifinals. That's the Midwest in Omaha, also on Friday. So the two regionals that are on Friday are the East and the Midwest. What we'll get first on Thursday afternoon, are the South and the West, and that includes the likes of Gonzaga, Florida State, who had that incredible second-half comeback versus Xavier. We'll get Michigan. We heard that buzzer beater from John Beilein's club, the Big Ten champions. Texas A&M. What did Adam Zucker tell us? That if you take the name off the jersey and you're just talking about the dudes who are on the court, he used the word dudes, I don't generally. He said that's the best team in the country after what they did to UNC. They're playing well. They've got a full roster now. They've had suspensions. They've had injuries too. But the Aggies demolished UNC, just destroyed them in the front court specifically with all of that size. Kentucky has done the same thing. The length, the reach. I mean, they're going to be a tough out now, and obviously they're still the high seed in the South. So anything can happen. What did I tell you? As UMBC was about to beat Virginia, never say never. And I feel like this tournament is wide open. So looking forward to more March Madness. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. But if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you want to do it to After Hours CBS or our Facebook page. We're going to get to your calls coming up if you want to talk about March Madness and what's to come this Sweet 16 down to the Final Four weekend. And also, I like your tweets about the football market. Is it getting too crowded? Will it be too crowded? So I put this out on Twitter, but can North America support the NFL, the CFL, the AAF, which will debut after the Super Bowl next year, and the XFL back in 2020? Are you excited for more options, or does it feel like it could be overkill?
So again, it's time to have some fun.
Roger Goodell says bring it on Twitter, on Facebook, and right away your calls. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We are 15 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything, maybe a little more. We'll give you 17 minutes to get your questions in. Producer Tom has a system, and when he cuts you off, well, then you're out of luck. You can send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or you can send them to our Facebook page, post them on our Facebook page, which I believe is working, at least for this particular post. Maybe Facebook knows I'm coming. And it's decided to take a step back after hours with Amy Lawrence. Who am I kidding? I have zero power. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. So that's just ahead following the update. And a lot of you welcoming this idea of another football league, except that four might be too many. So if the AAF gets in front of the XFL, does that mean, just by virtue of the timing and first to flood the market, that the AAF will get any fans who are missing football right after the Super Bowl, and then the XFL will be out of luck? A little showmanship, gamesmanship here between Chris Ebersole and Vince McMahon. I'm certain that McMahon will have something to say about it. Let's talk to Alex, who is in Blacksburg, Virginia, on our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Alex, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, what's up? I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. Love
awesome.
The show.
Thank you.
I'm a big Clemson fan, so really I wanted to know if you were paying attention to Clemson at all.
Alex, you know it's my job to pay attention, right?
Of course.
Okay. I did talk about this on Sunday night, how stunning it was that Auburn missed what it felt like 20 shots in a row. And I'm not sure I'd ever seen a halftime score like that with seeds that are so close at halftime. Was it 43-19? That was the score at halftime, something like that. I think that Clemson, here's what I like about Clemson. Considering the fact that Clemson is not necessarily known as a basketball blue blood, right? People don't look at Clemson and go, basketball school. It's helpful this time of year when there's not as much attention. I mean, I know that, you know, fans may want a team to get more attention and to have more interviews and have more demands on their time, but it's actually helpful when you get to this point to not be the team that everyone wants to not have a million coaching interview requests or player interview requests, to not have as many demands on your time, to be able to focus on basketball. So I like the fact that they've got this chance to maybe operate and focus on basketball and their travel and the tournament, as opposed to what, say, a Duke is doing or what Loyola Chicago is doing. Now, Kansas is going to be a really tough opponent. We know that these kids, they're great athletes. It's the same thing about Kentucky, right? They're long. They can leap out of buildings in some cases, and they've been there, done that. I mean, that's kind of the deal about facing a team that's got this kind of experience. But, I mean, you're in the Sweet 16, baby, so whatever happens, happens.
Right. I love it. I love the anticipation of it. Hey, I also wanted to say I don't know much about the AAF, as I like to call it, but I can't wait for the XFL, man. I can't wait for it.
How come? Why does that one excite you?
That when I was a little kid, maybe 8, 9, 10, I loved when it first came out. They kind of, you know, didn't work well then, but I feel like it's going to work so well now, and I can't wait for it.
Definitely Vince McMahon, as a savvy business guy, would have learned from the mistakes and the failures of the past. And honestly, I think he's kind of gauging the climate a little bit around sports, especially football, and saying, okay, we're not going to have any politics. We're not going to have anybody stepping out and using this for their own gain. We're not going to go social issues. We're just going to go straight football. And if they can do that, I think that that will provide a welcome alternative, because there are a lot of people, not saying everyone, not even saying the majority, but there are a lot of people that don't want all of the extras that have come around with the NFL because of how big it's gotten. and how big the players have gotten. So it could be a good option. My only idea is what happens if this other football league kind of steals its thunder before Vince and the XFL can get back on the field. But I guess the product is the product. If it's a good product, people will pay attention.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, I appreciate it, Jamie. Love the show.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for calling for the first time from Blacksburg. My younger niece is going to visit Blacksburg on one of her college visits. She's still a junior. She wants to go to UVA, but she's going to make sure she has other options, and Virginia Tech would be another one of those options. The Tigers, Clemson Tigers, are one of the teams that's performed at a very high level in both of its games to this point. And it's again, maybe not a story that you're hearing a lot of because of the Nevadas, the Loyola Chicagos, because of the UMBC, because of Duke, and because of Kansas and Villanova, who've survived. But this is the first time the Tigers have reached the Sweet 16 in 20 years. And this is a team that was just able to knock out Auburn, who had played really well toward the end of the year, had grabbed a share of the SEC championship. So it hasn't been a huge test in terms of pressure cooker situation for Clemson. Obviously, to be on the stage, there's a ton more attention and the pressure is magnified. But in terms of a close game, so like a Gonzaga having to play down to the wire in both of its games, or Nevada having to go into overtime against Texas and then having to put together a 22-point rally in the second half of its game against Tennessee. So those are more pressure cookers, against Cincinnati. Those are more pressure cooker situations. Clemson has been able to jump out on top quickly and not cruise, that's the wrong word, but put it into a good gear and keep it there. And have not necessarily gotten a lot of the spotlight on them, but good for the Tigers. It's important to recognize that Clemson's not just a football school. Now they got other sports too, like their baseball program. So yeah, good for Clemson. We'll see how this weekend plays out. Big test for a lot of schools who haven't been in this situation in quite a while or ever before. All right, you've got very little time left to submit your questions for Ask Amy Anything, but you're finding me on Twitter as well. Thanks so much for your responses about what could soon be 4 professional football leagues in North America. Jason says on Twitter, I don't think 4 pro football leagues will work just based on the number of players needed for them. He says, however, I will watch them if it's not during the NHL playoffs or MLB games. Will says only if the gambling is legalized, otherwise not enough interest. So, I hear that every now and then from people who legitimately only pay attention to football because of their fantasy teams or because they have money riding on games. So gambling's not legal. I don't know yet outside of Las Vegas, but there are court cases and that could change soon. But something tells me that's not a deterrent, though, because people still bet illegally. They find a way. If they want to bet and to wager on games, they find a way. What was the stat that we used for March Madness? In 2017, according to, it was Wallet Hub, who does these types of polls and stats and nerd alerts for a living, 10.4 million. No, it wasn't million, it was billion. 10.4 billion was bet on March Madness in 2017, and nearly all of it, so more than 90% of it, was done illegally.
Yeah, 10.1?
Yeah, right. So I love that you remember those numbers. Nerd alert! So if people want to bet, they're going to bet, regardless of whether it's legal or it's not legal. But thank you for your tweets, A-Law Radio. Last chance to get your questions in for Ask Amy, so you can do that on either Twitter or Facebook.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And the segment lives on. We continue to let you ask Amy anything because you haven't run out of questions yet. I mean, this is one of our longest running franchises here, going back more than 4 years. Thanks for all of your questions. Thanks for caring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show on CBS Sports Radio. A friend of mine is going to the airport early to pick up her husband who's coming in from a flight. And I told her, listen to satellite radio. We'll be doing something really quirky. It's kind of one of our signatures of the week. And so maybe my friend Gretchen is listening as she heads to the airport. Good morning. It's After Hours on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on our website. You find us, you post your questions, we answer. Ready, go!
You know, our friend Kevin, who absolutely loves this segment, sent in about 2 minutes ago that this is my favorite weekly segment, and he wondered, and just by you saying how long this has been running, mm-hmm. how many questions do you think you've answered
oh
by
gosh.
Now? And I thought about that just now, and I don't even have an estimate, but it's a frightening number.
We did skip several months a couple years ago just to kind of take it off the table and let people get excited about it returning. We've done video Ask AB Anything segments, which are on our YouTube channel. If you've never seen those, you know, unique and original questions. I mean, I would say even if we did it 35 weeks a year for the last 4 years, you're talking about, what, 140 segments. And that's a conservative estimate. Let's say 150, maybe, what, 10? I don't know if we do 10 questions a week, but
I would say 7 or 8, something like that.
I mean, still, you're talking about, what, 1,200, 1,300 questions probably?
Yeah, that was the exact calculation I just made in here.
Whoa, I feel so smart.
That's an amazing number of questions, and they just keep coming, and we have some real great ones. We have some real great ones this week. I like this one from David. He wants to know, what's your favorite sporting event intro, like in a broadcast intro to a sporting event, and is there anything better than the intro for Wide World of Sports?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one, but we don't get to see it anymore. It's an old franchise, but I've mentioned this before, but in case you don't know, I did my graduate school thesis on the impact of ABC's Wide World of Sports. Man, I wonder where that paper is. That paper's got to be somewhere. It was like a 30-page paper, and I did a ton of research, obviously, for my thesis, and I had to defend. We got to defend, not necessarily in front of a committee, but we got to defend with kind of an intro and writing it up and a summary page and all that jazz. Anyway, so that was what my grad thesis was at Syracuse. Honestly, though, the NFL music, which you know it nationwide, but it gets in my blood. I mean, I love the college basketball music, too, on CBS, but the NFL music that we get from CBS, the NFL Today, I mean, my gosh, it literally gets my blood pumping, and I can't wait to watch football. So, yeah, probably that's the intro, like the music for CBS and NFL Today. Isaac, if you want to play it, you certainly can.
I mean, this just feels like a fall Sunday. Leaves are coming down. It's brisk outside.
It's that hook right there. Oh gosh, I love it so much.
Okay, David's other question is kind of a random
Thank you,
one.
Isaac.
Would you rather watch pro golfers playing mini golf or figure skaters playing hockey?
Huh. That is kind of random. Nah, I feel like pro golfers playing mini golf wouldn't be all that exciting. Mini golf isn't all that exciting. I mean, it's fun if you go with family, but I would never watch mini golf on TV. I'd rather be playing it. I wouldn't watch it. So I'll go with figure skaters playing hockey. That seems kind of interesting. As long as there's no checking. I don't want these little figure skaters to get hurt. So this should be no checking, no body contact whatsoever. So more like women's hockey, even if it is a male figure skater. Let's preserve their ability to win medals and world championships. Yeah, but that seems like fun. We know they can do all kinds of crazy feats and tricks, but if you give them a stick and force them to actually pick up speed in a direction where they have to shoot the puck, that could be entertaining.
All of a sudden, they'll be jumping and twisting in hockey. That'd be great. Quinnell asks a very unusual question. He asks many questions over the years in this segment, but this one is, do you prefer your jeans to be from Gap or Lane Bryant?
Neither.
Yeah, that was a weird shot there at two unlikely options.
Huh. Now, I've never bought a pair of jeans from the Gap. I don't shop at the Gap. I have a pair of yoga pants from the Gap. A friend and I went to a Gap outlet before Christmas, and that was one of the things we bought ourselves. So a pair of yoga pants on clearance. They're zany colors, too. They're striped with, like, pink and yellow and turquoise stripes. They're awesome. But, no, I don't shop there. I generally get my jeans at Penny's or at Kohl's because they seem to have, they're cheaper prices and they have the sizes that kind of fit me. I'm not a stick figure. I'm a curvy. And so I have to get the right kind of jeans, but yeah, I'm not a brand shopper. I go where I can get the deals, and I go, once I find a deal and a fit that I like, I continue to purchase there at that spot until it doesn't work for me anymore. Target's a good store too.
Let's do some food questions. Okay. Jordan would like to know, what toppings do you put on your hamburger?
That answer was disappointing. I always put cheese. So before I even take the hamburgers out of the oven or off the grill, whichever it happens to be, I will put a piece of cheese, typically mozzarella. I'm a mozzarella cheese freak. And then put them back in the oven or back on the grill. Let them sit on the grill for the cheese to melt. I like onion on hamburger. I don't always do it, but I like onion. Like pickles. Only dill. I don't do sweet pickles. And I love ketchup on burgers. I don't do ketchup on a lot of stuff, but I do it on burgers and I do it on sausage when I eat sausage.
Kind of connected to that, Ernest asks, when you grill outside, do you prefer gas or charcoal?
You know what else is great on a burger is mushrooms. I do like mushrooms, hot mushrooms. Yeah. Awesome.
A little balsamic in there.
Yes. I do not grill with gas. I think it's cheating. So I'm a charcoal griller all the way. I credit my New Hampshire upbringing for that. It's like having a fake Christmas tree. All you do is go out there and turn on the knob and the gas grill fires up. No, put a little elbow grease into it. Take a little time. Anything that's worth having is worth fighting for. And sometimes it's a fight against the charcoal grill, but it tastes much better.
Back on the topic of pickles from a moment ago, Wes actually asked this week, can you make homemade pickles? I mean, yes, you can. The proper question is, have you made household pickles?
I haven't. My grandmother has, and my mom have. They've done it in the past, but I've never done it. I think it's fascinating. I used to see my grandmother with the cucumbers in the jars, right, and whatever, however she did it.
You should. It's fun. It's easy.
Is it?
Come out amazing.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun. I bet I can find recipes on the interwebs.
I just made an interesting pickle last weekend. A pickled jalapeno in honey and apple cider vinegar.
Ew. Oh.
It worked out. Oh, my goodness. It was spicy. It was salty. It was sweet. Ew. It was amazing.
That's a little odd combo, though, to throw that into a jar together.
You got to take chances, especially when you're pickling.
Okay.
David has a specific food question relating to your favorite recipe. He wants to know, have you ever made your chili with venison?
I haven't, but I love venison.
Interesting idea.
Probably. So I have this thing that I do with ex-boyfriends. My first ex-boyfriend taught me a love of country music. My second ex-boyfriend taught me a love of golf, both those things of which I still appreciate. One of my other ex-boyfriends was a hunter. He lived in Kentucky on a farm. And so when I would visit him and his family, they would typically go out early if it would happen to be hunting season, would hunt. And I fell in love with venison and the way that they cook it. So they would hunt deer, but they would also then, you know, like make sure they skinned the deer and they cooked the deer and they would have it in their freezer forever and ever and ever. And so they would give me venison to take back home with me. So that's where I discovered a great love for venison. I've never cooked it or grilled it myself because I feel like I could never do it as well. But maybe that's something else I could try. Or bison. What is the
Amazing.
Horse? We're not hunting horse, you weirdo. What is that about? they don't hunt on horseback either. But yeah, so those are two things I'd like to try, cooking venison and cooking bison.
Venison is great. It's hard, easy to mess up, though.
And it's so good for you. It's not fat-free, but it's a really lean meat. Really good.
David's next question, do you prefer French or Italian food or some other major grouping? Cuisine grouping.
I am half Italian, so I prefer Italian food. I had this conversation with the dental hygienist on Tuesday. She's Polish, and so she noticed my last name. That it's also Polish. And she said, oh, my goodness, are you Polish too? And I said, yep. And so it was Polish and Italian, and we agreed we had the best foods.
Kielbasa and pierogies.
The best of both worlds. Oh, yeah, but think about all the Italian foods. And then we agreed that it was a ton of extra carbs, but that still, that was a fine sacrifice to make to have the best food ever.
Well, David would like to know, what's your favorite meal out of the one that you chose? So out of the Italian category, what's your favorite Italian meal?
Well, my favorite Italian meal would have to be pasta. I don't know how you can beat pasta, but I do love veal parm. Veal marsala is another one that I really love. My mom makes that. Pierogies is a fantastic Polish meal. Pierogies and sauerkraut, but also potatoes in there too. So those are some of my favorites. The ones that both grandmas would make. My Grammy Helen, who's almost 96, doesn't cook much anymore, except for when I show up. She cooked lemon bars for me last year, baked them, which was pretty incredible. But yeah, I miss going to my Grammy's house back when she lived in a big house and would cook all the time because we would have pierogies. It was yummy.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Kevin got already some love tonight, but then he asked this other question that is also on topic with the story you told earlier tonight, the slightly disturbing phone call. He would like to know if if you could call anyone alive and chat for 5 minutes, who would you call?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it has to be alive. This is so hard. Just one person? Wow. And only 5 minutes?
And they don't know it's coming.
That's almost like a tease. Yeah, but would the
person, cold call.
But would the person pick up the phone, though?
Yes.
I don't want to waste my phone call.
No. The person absolutely is going to pick up,
if the
but they won't know it's coming.
Wouldn't pick up the phone. Well, I mean, we're talking about a few people. Larry Bird is probably still at the top of my list. He's my – but that's a sports thing.
Great.
Yeah, I mean – I'll talk to the president for 5 minutes. I feel like that would, you're talking about an interesting conversation, political or apolitical. I'd still talk to the president for 5 minutes. I've never spoken to or met a president before.
What about the guy in the Mets organization now?
Tim Tebow?
Oh, we found it.
That's right. 5 minutes would be enough for me to ask him if he wants to marry me. I mean, that's not creepy at all while we're talking about creepy folk.
What a reversal of situation right there.
Hey, it's 2018. Women need to be. I could never. I can barely ask a guy out. I'm such a chicken. I could never
Tim
ask
Tebow
a guy
picks
to
up
marry
the phone
me.
And he just hears, "I love you eternally. I am eternally devoted
like
to you."
Like the guy did to
exactly.
me today. Great.
Yes, exactly. Okay, last question from John. Another deep and awesome question. Well done this week, everybody.
Leave it to Isaac to bring that up, as I'd forgotten about Tebow.
What random stranger has had the biggest impact on your life?
Oh, my gosh, that's a longer story than I can tell in 20
save it
seconds.
For next week.
Well, I'll quickly tell you this, though. I was in Boston 1 year. I was hanging out on the harbor, on the water, and I had some time before an appointment, and a stranger, a man, came up to me. He barely spoke English. He was Asian. He was waiting for his daughter, who was working that day, and we spent maybe a half hour together, and that encounter, I'd never forgotten it. It left a huge impact on me, and so I'll have to tell that story at some point, and I'll try to remember how old I was at the time. That's a meeting I've never forgotten. Never seen the man again. We only spent 30 minutes together. Just, it was incredible. So I'm going to have to leave you hanging. But that leaves time for more Ask Amy Anything coming up next week, I guess. We'll have to get back to it. Thanks for all of your questions. We've got 1 hour left to go on our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.